Matthew chapter number 4, and we're going to continue our look at the life of Jesus in our series, Getting Acquainted with the Savior. Last week, we were looking at Jesus being led out in the wilderness and being tempted, and hopefully we learned a lot about how to deal with temptation whenever it comes our way, because it is going to come our way. It'll come our way on a daily basis. And today, our message is probably going to fit more along with where we were at on Wednesday, because we were looking on Wednesday night about making decisions and finding God's will and such. But we're going to continue following Jesus, and he's going to move into a new region. He's going to move into the region of Galilee there just after he comes out of his temptation. And that's where his ministry is going to be centered, around the area of Capernaum, kind of ends up being his home base, so to speak, for his ministry. He does go into many other parts. But for the most part, and what we can see in Jesus' life, he kept within a very small area. I mean, for someone who has impacted the entire world, his ministry only spanned a very short, very small amount of ground there. But anyway, we're going to be looking at that today. So if you will, look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 12. Last week we left off with verse number 11, so we'll just pick up where we left off at. And it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." I'll point out verse 16 there real quick. That's not where we're going to be at today. "But those who sat in darkness saw light." Now that's my prayer for the people of Ireland. That's our prayer for our community, that those who are sitting in darkness will see the light. Mm-hmm. And that somehow we can be a light. Even on our website, I've put that Longford Baptist Church, a light in Longford. That's what I want. I want them to see the light of Christ. Mm-hmm. But verse number 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we pray today, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together, for everyone who's come, for their patience, for their interest in the things of God, Lord. And we just pray as we attempt to preach this message that you've given us, Lord, I just pray that you guide and direct and help me to say the things that are needful. Be with each person here, that they will walk away helped, Lord. And Lord, do be at their time and fellowship here once again. Help us honestly, Lord, to be a light. Help us, Lord, to show your love and your forgiveness and your wonderful plan of salvation to those that we come in contact with, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we can never that we never be a stumbling block to those that we come in contact with, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all you do. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. So today at this point, we see that Jesus has received the testimony of the Father. Remember, whenever he was baptized, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and they heard it spoken from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so we had heard the testimony of the Father. We saw that Jesus was tempted of the devil. That was last week. Mm-hmm. And so this week, Jesus is going to begin training his disciples. And I want to call your attention here to verse number 19. And this is where we're going to focus on today. And it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so for the next little bit, I want to consider this thought, what follow me really means. What follow me really means. Because honestly, I think many people have a misunderstanding of what it really means to follow Jesus. There are a lot of people who think that following Jesus is just a matter of looking the part, of doing the right activities, of going the right places and these kind of things. But there's so much more to it than just that. Following Jesus is more than just being a Christian. It's more than just being saved, because many people are saved and they've never followed Jesus. So I want to look at this today with what it really means to follow Jesus. And so in our passage, Jesus began calling out his disciples. And now these four men are later going to be given another title, that of apostles. Okay, and we're not going to be looking at that today, but we're going to be looking at the idea of disciples. Now, a disciple is a student, a pupil, a follower.
Right.
Okay. John had disciples. Wasn't necessarily anything of a Christian connotation at that time, but it just simply meant that you were a student that followed a specific teacher.
Right.
And so anyway, as we look through these passages, we find that these disciples are the ones who followed him. They're the ones who learned from him. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of them recorded in Scripture. We find even at the end of this, in verse number 25, that there were multitudes of people who were following Jesus by the time we got to the end of this passage. How much a multitude is, that's up to your opinion, I guess. The Bible doesn't give a number to it. So use your imagination there. But there were many people who were designated as disciples. Down throughout history, there have been many disciples. And then today, we should still be disciples. We should still be seeking to follow after Jesus. And so there is a big difference between simply being saved and actually being a disciple, a follower. There were lots of people back in Jesus' time who may have believed, but they didn't follow him. Yeah. Still to this day, there's many believers that don't follow him. They have their sins forgiven. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. And heaven's going to be their home one of these days whenever they die. But they're going to live this life for themselves. They're going to live this life for the direction that they want to go and the way that they want to live. And they've never answered that call to follow him.
Right.
And so we're going to look at least six things today from this passage. And I know that sounds like a big number for me today. I'm going to be short. But we're going to look at six things today from this passage to see what follow me really means. So we're going to see some things that it does, some things that it means. The first one is that follow me repels the slothful. Follow me repels the slothful. And what I mean by this is that someone who is lazy is not going to become a follower of Jesus.
Right.
It's not something that's easy.
Right.
Being saved is easy.
Yes.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's easy enough, right?
Right.
But being a follower of Christ, being a disciple, is a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Jesus went along the seashore, he called busy men, men who were already working. We have men who are fishing, men who are mending their nets. We later will find Matthew was setting at the receipt of custom. He was doing his job. There were many people who were working. They were going about, and they were industrious. They were doing things.
Yeah.
They weren't lazy men.
Right.
And so all throughout his ministry, that Jesus is going to be constantly on the move with his disciples, with his followers.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he tells his disciples, "Take up your cross and follow me." Not an easy thing. Taking up your cross does not even give a hint of something that's going to be easy.
Right.
And so he wasn't looking for lazy. He wasn't looking for slothful. And still to this day, it is a lot easier to not follow Jesus. It's a lot easier to just fall into the rut, the routine, go with the flow, as they say, go with the way that the world is going, go with the way that everyone else is doing. But to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ, we're swimming upstream.
You're right.
We're going against the flow. And 10 or 15 other cliches that I could throw out.
Yeah.
It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to become one of his disciples. It's not easy to walk where he walks and do the things that he does. And so following Jesus is going to be difficult. It's not for those who are slothful. It repels them. We can see in John chapter 6, if you want to turn over there for just a minute, a good illustration of this. And this is actually one of my favorite, for strange enough reasons, and you look at this, you're going to wonder why, but for strange enough reasons, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think mostly just because it's taught me a lot. But in John chapter 6, in verse number 60, Jesus had been teaching these guys, and they had been following him really for very shallow reasons. They were receiving miracles. They were receiving food. Jesus was giving. And so they were following him. And so as they were going about this and following him for what they could receive, Jesus began showing him that, or showing these people, this crowd, that it's not all about the blessings and benefits. There are some difficult things that he starts to teach.
Right.
And so in verse number 60, many therefore of his disciples, right?
Yeah.
Followers. Many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" He speaks to them there again, but in verse number 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him, or not walked no more with him. They said, "It's starting to get difficult. It's starting to get hard. I don't want to do this anymore." They quit, didn't they? There are several people who are recorded in Scripture that started out following Jesus and they quit whenever it got difficult.
Right.
Follow me repels the lazy.
Yes.
The second thing about follow me is that follow me redirects our striving. Follow me redirects our striving. We look at these four disciples here. Whenever Jesus calls out to them from the shores there of Galilee, what were they doing? What were they doing as he called out to them? They were mending their nets. They were fishing. They had a work they did. They had something they were striving for, right?
Right.
These disciples, as he called out to them, they had jobs. They had careers. We find that the sons of Zebedee there left their father and followed Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if it was the family business. They were fishermen. They knew their job. They probably did it well. They were probably proud of the vocation that they had, and they were good at it. They had dreams of what they were going to become. John, we find that he was fairly a young guy. He was probably planning on following in his father's footsteps. He was going to take on the family business. He was going to grow their empire. They were going to have more fishing boats, bigger nets. They were going to increase more and more. He was going to have a large home, a big family, a long retirement. He was going to have all these things. He had his plans laid out before him, right? This was what he was putting all of his effort and his energy into. This is what he was striving for. But whenever Jesus came and from that shore said, "Follow me,"
right,
he redirected their striving.
Right.
They were striving for a new purpose. They had a new reason. They had a different direction that they were going in after Jesus spoke those words, "Follow me." And whenever we become disciples of Christ, whenever we begin following him, it redirects our striving. We don't fight for the things that the world once fought for. We don't fight for the things that used to be important. All of a sudden, our priorities change.
Yeah.
Our priorities begin to change whenever we begin following Jesus.
Right.
The things that used to be so important no longer are important anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The plans that we were set on before no longer have the appeal they once did.
Right.
One thing that we find about the disciples here is that their striving is redirected from striving for self to striving for others. Their focus and their attention wasn't what can I do for me, but it became what can I do for others. This changed. It redirected their striving. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that whenever we begin following Jesus, that he's going to require us to quit our jobs and to go out full-time in ministry and serving him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's to follow him in that regard. For some people, that is his will. Some people he does lead to do that. We've had to do that, you know. And he leads some people to do that, but that's not what I'm saying for everybody.
Right.
But those who are following Jesus, those who are his disciples, are no longer building their empire on this world.
Right.
They're no longer striving for self. They're no longer trying to build up and see what they can do in this world. Something else has become more important to them.
Yeah.
He redirects their striving. And he changes us, what we're striving for, what we put our effort into. Matthew chapter 6, just a few pages over there. maybe just one. Verse 19 through 21. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is what redirects our striving. Something becomes more important to us.
Right.
We have a bigger focus.
Right.
Our perspective, our point of view gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
We see that there's more to it than just what's on this earth. And so as we follow the disciples, and as we're going to throughout the book of Matthew here as we study this, we find that they let all these things slip away. They let all these things go to the side. Because just in the portion that we read here today, these four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they turned away from their fishing nets. They turned away from their boats. They turned away from even their hometown.
Right.
They turned away from all of those hopes, dreams, plans that they once had, and they exchanged them for better ones.
Yes.
Look, don't lose track of that. They exchanged them for better ones. We'll get into that in just a moment. And so, the third thing that we find here about follow me, not only does it repel the slothful, not only does it redirect our striving, it also requires sacrifice. Follow me requires sacrifice. This is one of the reasons why not very many people are willing to follow Jesus. We don't like the idea of sacrifice. But Peter and Andrew left their nets and their way of life. James and John left their ship and their father. All the apostles left plans, careers, families, etc. to follow Jesus. Look with me in Luke chapter number 14. I've got a few different passages we're going to look at today, but we're moving quickly. Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. This is Jesus speaking. Look at verse number 26. He says, "If any man come after me." So coming after him, what are they doing? They're following, right?
Yes.
"If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." We see that there was a cost associated with discipleship. Remember, I said salvation is easy. Salvation is free. It is a gift of God, right?
Yes.
It doesn't require anything of us.
Right.
Many people stop at that place and they never follow through with becoming disciples because it does cost them. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, make sure you count the cost first.
Yeah.
So that you don't get down the road and you start having regrets and you start thinking, I don't know if I want to follow anymore. I think I'll turn back. There's been many people who've done that. We find that Paul writes, and he says, I think it's in the book of 2 Timothy, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world."
Right.
We find a man who didn't count the cost.
Yeah.
And whenever he began to count the cost, whenever it cost him, he had to sacrifice a little bit to be a disciple. He said, I don't want to do this anymore, and he turned away.
Right.
And they looked at him and said, he quit. He gave up. The world is not kind to quitters. You know that? And by the way, I never want to be a quitter. I don't want to be one who is the failures in the Christian life. I don't
right.
want to be one of the ones that said, where's he at? What happened to him?
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those ones. But follow me requires sacrifice. And whenever we start talking about sacrifice, it gets a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
As I already said, we don't like sacrifice. And that's why many don't become his disciples. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us and to run with patience. We start having those weights and things. What is it? We need to sacrifice a few things. There are things that we hold on to that hold us back from actually following after Christ. And so there are sacrifices that we must make in order to be his disciples.
Right.
Your acceptance with the world. Maybe your reputation. Maybe some of the plans, the dreams that you had in place, maybe some of those things we have to sacrifice in order to become one of his disciples. This kind of goes along with what we were talking about on Wednesday. Not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
We sacrifice these things to be his disciple. And so to follow Jesus, sometimes we have to let go of things that we want to hold on to.
Yeah.
We sacrifice those things. We let go of them. We let them fall off to the side. And in reality, what that's saying is that we are esteeming that fellowship, that following of Christ, as being of higher value, of being something greater than what we're letting go of. Whenever we sacrifice, we're saying there's something more important. Many parents have sacrificed for their children.
Right.
What are they saying? They're saying, my children are more important than what I'm letting go of. Many people have sacrificed in order to attain a dream or a direction that they wanted to go. What are they saying? What I'm letting go of is more valuable, is more important. When we start seeing Jesus as being as important as what he is, as valuable as what he is, as special as what he is, these sacrifices become easier to make.
Yes, they do.
Just as a parent is for their child. They have no problem making that sacrifice for their child because they say, I love them enough.
Right.
It's important enough.
Right.
It's beneficial enough. I'm willing to make that sacrifice for my child. Following him is going to require a few sacrifices. The fourth thing that we see is follow me results in service. I know these things are a little bit heavy right now, but give me just a minute. I'm getting to the good part. I'm laying a foundation here. The fourth thing is follow me results in service. These four men were called to be fishers of men. This was a call to service. Before they had gathered the fish up, they had sold them for money. Now they're going to go out and harvest souls.
Yeah.
They're going to fish for men. They are after something more valuable, but it's not something they can put in their pocket.
Right.
I want to point out in this, though, in verse number 19, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Jesus took on the responsibility of bringing that out in them.
Yes.
It is a result. Follow me results in service. It's not something that we work up. It's not something that we procure of our own abilities. Jesus says, follow me and I will make. And that should be the story of our lives. As we follow him, he makes out of us what he would have us to be. Not that we make ourselves. Follow me results in service. And so, fishing for men was a result of following him. It was something that occurred naturally that he brought out of these fishermen.
Yeah.
When we follow him, he brings some results in our lives and results in our service.
Yeah.
Notice where he led them whenever they were following him. In the last part of that chapter that we read, they went to the religious lost, to the synagogues, to the people who ends up crucifying Jesus,
right?
Yeah.
They
went to the sick, to the diseased, to the possessed, to the crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a lunatic, right?
Right.
And to the multitudes that were in need of Christ. These were not the typical crowd that a Jew would seek to be around.
Right.
This was a different crowd than what Peter and Andrew, James and John usually ran with. But Jesus put them right in the middle of a needy and broken bunch of people to minister, to serve. Whenever we start following Jesus, it results in our service.
Yeah.
He puts us in the middle of that bunch of broken people so that we can serve.
Yeah.
When we follow Jesus, he's going to make us servants.
Right.
And those who claim to follow Jesus and who aren't servants are fakes, are frauds.
Right.
Because when you follow Jesus, it results in service.
Yes.
For those out there who claim to be following him, for those out there who have these big so-called ministries that never minister,
right,
for those who claim to be servants and never serve, they're frauds, they're charlatans.
Yeah.
Because following Jesus results in service. Matthew chapter 23. I want to back this up. I don't want to call someone a fraud without having something to back it up. Matthew chapter number 23, verses 10 and 11. We have the disciples. They've been following Jesus. And they actually begin to argue about who's going to be the greatest. They're all jockeying for position. They all want to be lifted up, and they think that Jesus is a way to lift themselves. In verse 10 and 11, it says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant."
Mm-hmm.
If you're following Jesus, Jesus was a servant. It says that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so for us to claim that we are following him, we should be doing what he did, right?
Right.
Following him, following me, leads to results in service. And so far I'm probably not doing too good of a job at selling the idea of following him, am I? These are all things that come against our flesh that our pride detests. We don't want to be servants. We want to be served, right? We don't want to give up anything. We want to focus our striving in the way that we want it to go. We want to go the easy path. We want to go the easy direction. This is what we want to do. And so whenever I start talking about him changing our striving, whenever I start talking about him causing us to become servants, that pricks against our flesh just a little bit. However, he's also, for anyone who is born again, anyone who's a child of God, he has also put the Holy Spirit down inside of us.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit gives us a hunger.
Yes.
Gives us a desire to follow him.
Right.
Helps us to know that following him is infinitely better than any other option.
Yeah.
And so in us, even though this comes against our flesh, our spirit says, "I want this."
Mm-hmm.
Our spirit says, "This is definitely better."
Yeah.
But our flesh fights against it. Follow me is definitely better. The fifth thing that we see about follow me reflects the Savior. Follow me reflects the Savior. As these men began following Jesus, they began going where he went, doing what he did, and the longer they followed him, the more they became like him.
Right.
There's a huge, huge difference between Peter, whenever Jesus first calls him here on the seashore, and Peter when he gets to the end of his ministry. Big difference. What happens? Peter's no longer a fisherman, just like all the rest of the fishermen in Galilee. He's no longer just like every other man. He starts becoming like Jesus. He starts reflecting the character of the Savior. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter's been preaching. He's been standing boldly. And whenever he does this, they throw him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here in Acts 4:13 that those who had threw him in prison took knowledge of him, that he had been with Jesus,
yeah.
That he was different, that he spoke differently, that he acted differently. And they contributed to the factor that he had been with Jesus. He began reflecting Jesus because he had followed Jesus.
Right.
Same thing happens in our lives. Whenever we begin following Jesus, he begins to mold and to shape us. He begins to conform us into his image. And it only comes through following him.
Right.
As we follow him, he changes us. He redirects our desires and our direction, all the things that we're doing, and it conforms us to his image.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer just like every other man in the world. We're no longer like all the ones that are in society, that are seeing what they can get out of this life, that are trying to mess over whoever they can just to get ahead.
Right.
We're acting like Jesus.
Yeah.
I desire to reflect the Savior in my life. I want the world to see Jesus in me. I want to love like he loved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live like he lived. I want to serve like he fought, like he served. But it only comes from follow me. Only by following him. The last thing that I see here in follow me. Follow me rewards the servant. This is where it gets good.
Mm-hmm.
Now we like being able to reflect Jesus. We can all agree that that is a lofty aspiration. That is a good thing. That is an attractive thing to be like Christ. The world could use a lot more people who reflected Christ.
All right.
But here, follow me rewards the servant. God doesn't allow us to go without reward for our sacrifice.
All right.
For following him, for the steps that we followed him. We don't really see it in today's passage because this is just the calling at first. We see them leaving things. We see them changing directions and things. We don't really see the rewards in this. Now we know that there's many eternal rewards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Many different passages that I could go to. Paul said that there was a crown of righteousness that was laid up for him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. In Matthew chapter 19 verses 28 and 29, the apostles, those who had been following Jesus, they said, we have forsaken houses and land, family, all these things for your sake. What shall we receive? And he assures them, he says, no man that has forsaken anything for me will go without reward. He says they will be rewarded 100-fold in this life to come.
Yeah.
So we talk about eternal rewards. We talk about things in heaven. We're starting to see things way in the future, right?
Right.
But I will tell you, that makes it a little bit hard to follow him now. Because we're very present type people. We're concentrating and we're focusing on the here and now, aren't we?
Yeah.
And so it almost seems less attractive whenever I say, oh, follow him now. It's going to be hard now, but it's going to be good later. Right?
Yeah.
Not a real good sales point, is it? However, I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I don't want to present it that way. But I want to say as well, think about these men. Think about the change in their life and think about what they experienced. Following Jesus has extreme rewards now as well.
Yes.
Following him, you go where he goes. You do what he does. You see what he sees. And you get to be a part of it.
Right.
Imagine these disciples as they followed him. Believe me, they seen things that they never would have seen on the fishing boat.
Right.
Could you imagine the things that they experienced because they were following him? Wouldn't have happened if they'd stayed on the boat. Feeding multitudes, healing many people, diseases healed, all these different things. And then not only that, they got to take part in the ministry.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about what they seen, it was what God did through them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine Peter the first time whenever he was able to heal a blind man. That's better than fishing. Right? Now, I'm not saying that I'm ever going to heal a blind man, but I tell you, walking with Jesus is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm following him, I'm with him.
Right.
He's going before me.
Yeah.
There's hope in following Jesus. I know that he's going before me. I know that he is directing my path. I know that he is guarding me, that he is guiding me. I know that I'm safe and I am secure.
Yeah.
I know that the way that he leads me is the way that's best.
Right.
But if I rely on myself and I go my own way, I have no security. I have no hope. Whenever I go my own way, there is nothing that guarantees me that things will work out right.
Mm-hmm.
We often quote Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. Woo! We kind of neglect that last part. You know what that last part means? It means when you're following him.
Right.
All things work together for good when you follow him.
Right.
You follow self, you follow the world. No guarantees.
Right.
No security. No guarantee. Follow me rewards a servant.
Yeah.
The rewards are substantial. The rewards are on this earth. But also the rewards are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Following Jesus is the best way to live this life. He's never going to lead you the wrong direction. He's going to stretch you. He's going to pull you. He's going to put you occasionally in difficult situations. Why? Because he loves you and he grows you. He's not content to leave you where you're at. He's not content to just leave you floating down the stream. He calls you to go against the flow. Because it's for your good.
Right.
See, even the difficulties is part of the reward.
Yes. That is
even the difficulties is part of the reward. Because he's growing you.
Yes.
He's strengthening you. He's building you. He's conforming you into his image. He's making a better version of you.
Yes.
As you follow him. That's what he's doing. And so we see that there are several difficulties associated with follow me. We see that it's easiest just to accept Him as your Savior, coast through life, slide into heaven one of these days. And the Bible says that folks along those lines are going to be in heaven. It says, just so as by fire. We read in the book of Job the phrase, by the skin of their teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are content with that. Just coast along. Let Jesus pull you along there. Sins are forgiven. Heaven's my home. I'm good with that. Now I'm just going to live like the rest of the world. You can do that. But oh, you miss out on so much.
Yes.
You miss out on being with Jesus here.
Yes.
You miss out on being guided to where He would have you here.
Yeah.
And you miss out upon all of the rewards of eternity later on. Follow Jesus means so much more than just going to church once in a while. Carry your Bible with you. Mention His name once in a while. Following Him is going with Him, being with Him, being where He is, and allowing Him to work in your life.
Yeah.
And to conform you and to shape you. It is optional. Remember, Jesus called to them, said, follow me. They had a choice. They could have said, shove it.
Yeah.
They could have said, don't want to do it. I want to stay on the boat. Many people do.
Right.
He lets them do that.
Yeah.
We have a choice
yeah.
to follow Him or not. But I'll tell you, along with that choice to follow Him, we have to recommit to that choice quite often.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Peter called here in Matthew chapter 4. If you look in John chapter 21, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. I've taught through this in the past. But in John chapter 21, Jesus has been crucified. He rose again the third day. Peter denied Him. Peter went back to fishing. And Jesus once again is walking by the seashore. Once again walking by the seashore. And He tells Peter, follow me. And I would say there's probably been several times throughout Peter's life that Jesus said, follow Him.
Yes.
There's a constant calling back to following Him. Choice that we make on a day-to-day principle, day-to-day basis, maybe I should say, whether or not we follow Jesus. We can follow Him. We can have sweet fellowship with Him.
Yeah.
We can receive growth. We can receive reward. But it's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to strive to follow Him. I mess up sometimes. Sometimes I go astray. The Bible says that all we like sheep are going astray.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do. And He calls out once again, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. Let's strive to follow Him. Let's be willing to make a sacrifice. Let's be willing to let go of what we're striving for. Strive for a better purpose.
Yeah.
Because walking with Him is worth it.
Yes.
The rewards far, far, far exceed the sacrifices.
Yes.
So just think on that this week. Are you following Him? Do you know what follow me really means? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to You today. Thank You for Your blessings. And we thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like these four men and to truly follow You, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. I know I focus maybe too much on the cost and the sacrifices today. But Lord, I know that the rewards are tremendous, Lord, and we want to follow You. We want You shaping our lives and guiding our steps. And Lord, making something substantial out of us, Lord, rather than just being another sheep in the flock, so to speak, or however we want to put it. And Lord, we just ask You, Lord, just to grow us, to strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to be a light in this world, Lord. Help us to truly be disciples. Lord, we thank You so much for all You do, all You're going to do. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.